Well, I bid you again a very pleasant good morning, and I so appreciate those of you that stayed. I think that not only did some stay, but some came. So we're glad you're here and we can study a little while together. I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, take my brethren for granted. I so appreciate the people that sit in the pew and listen to the preaching over and over again and that care about the gospel and that care about going to heaven. So thank you so much for being here. I want to talk with you a few minutes this morning about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel comes to us from good spell, and that means good sayings or good news. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I should like you to notice that he says the gospel is not just the good news, but it's a special good news. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid sometimes that we have reduced that gospel to what I call a five-finger exercise. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Or hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And those things are absolutely necessary. But could I say something to you about that? That's not where we start. That's not where we start. When the Ethiopian was traveling and reading from Isaiah 53, and the preacher came alongside of him and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he bade him come up into the chariot, and he began at the same passage and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is what the gospel is all about. It's where it starts. It's where it ends. He is the center and circumference of all that we are. His resurrection is the pinnacle of our hope. Without that, we are absolutely, totally nothing. So I want to talk with you a little bit about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said about that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved. Halt, please. Notice what the gospel is. He said, I gave you the gospel which I preached unto you. That gospel is to be disseminated. The good news is to be spread about by preaching. I preached it unto you which you received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved. That gospel was concerning Jesus Christ. And let me show you that that's what he means. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if ye keep in memory the things that I have commanded you. For I delivered unto you that which I first of all received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and above 500 brethren at once, and finally of me as of one born out of due season. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. We dare not, listen to me carefully, we dare not leave Jesus out of our preaching. We must understand that that's the beginning place of all that we do. And if we want to convert people to the Lord, we convert them to the Lord, not to the church. We convert them to the Lord, not to some preacher. We convert them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way it starts, and that's the way it ends. Turn with me to Romans, the sixth chapter, and let's read a little bit there. Romans chapter 6. I'll wait just a moment while you find your place. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? Did you see where he started with that? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. What is the gospel? It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What is baptism? It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Knowing this, that our old man of sin is crucified with Him, that sin henceforth, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. For he that is dead to sin is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, notice where we are. He never gets very far from Jesus Christ. We believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Our risen, being risen in the act of baptism is typical of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall have no dominion over ye, for you're not under the law but under grace. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now listen, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What is in every verse there? What is the implication of every verse? Every verse reverts back to the predicate for our salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. He is what our salvation is all about. We dare not go some other place. In Acts, the second chapter, when the Apostle Peter was about to commence to preach to the people, the Scripture tells us in no uncertain terms what he preached about. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders which God did in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be beholden of it. He goes ahead to talk about the risen Savior, how that he was crucified on a cross, and that he came forth and brought salvation in doing so. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. What made them be pricked in their hearts? Not just the fact of their sin, but the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Jesus Christ is the center of all that we preach. When we leave that, we leave the center of our preaching. We must do all kinds of preaching. We must preach against all kinds of false doctrine. We must preach against all kinds of intrusions into the church. We must preach against false wisdom, and we must preach against false attitudes and the things that accompany all of those things. But we never should get very far from Jesus Christ. Every time we preach against false doctrine, we need for people to understand that Jesus didn't die for false doctrine. Jesus died for the sins of the people. He died to bring us the gospel of Jesus Christ. We dare not go some other place with it. I used this passage last night. I make no apology for returning to it. The Apostle Paul said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Jesus Christ. He also said, and I, Paul, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech nor wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much preaching, in much wisdom and much suffering. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what Paul went everywhere preaching. And notice, if you will, please, we began by using the passage from Romans chapter 1. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1 before he gets to verse 17, verse 16 and 17, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you one thing about Paul. He's never very far from holding hands with the Lord. He's might nigh everything that he does all the time. He never gets very far. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. What is that gospel of God? Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the resurrection of by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we received grace and apostleship. Paul said, everything that I've done, everything that I've written, everything that I'm about is because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. The Apostle Paul is going to talk about his life in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though I might have confidence, this is verse 4 of chapter 3. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness that is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He preached Jesus every time. He thought about Jesus when he thought about his life, every instance of it, every part of it. And I want you to notice what he says at the end of this reading. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We're to be like him. We need to put Jesus back in our lives. We need to read about him. It's fine to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you understand it's all about Jesus. It's fine to read the epistles if you understand that they're all about Jesus. It's fine to read Revelation if you want to understand that it's all about Jesus. If you want to read the book of Hebrews, it's about Jesus Christ and His superiority. If you want to read the book of Philippians, you'll read about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. If you want to read from Isaiah, you'll read about Jesus coming into the world. If you want to read from the Old Testament prophecies, you will see shadowy looks at all that he was all the way through that. It's all about Jesus, Lord. It's all about him as King. It's all about him as the righteous God our Father gave for our sins. I want to read something for you now. Don't want you to get your Bible, but I want you to tune in. I want you to listen like you've never listened before, because I'm going to read from the Word of God. You listen very, very carefully. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53. Please carefully listen. He was despised. That means he was hated. You ever have anybody hate you? Jesus was hated. People looked on him and despised him. They couldn't stand the sight of him, nor could they stand the words of his mouth. They hated him. He was despised. How did he respond? He was hated. He loves. This passage says that he was rejected. You ever been rejected? He was totally rejected. He was cut off from everybody. When he hung on the cross, who was it that hoorahed for him? Who was it that stood there and said it was a despicable action that was being propagated? Nobody. He was rejected. He was left. He fellowships. What a God we serve. What a Lord He was. He fellowships. He was wounded. That means He was hurt. You know what He does? He heals. Oh, what a Savior. He was bruised, injured, hurt. You ever think how it was? He was injured in so many different ways. They took a cat of nine tails, in essence, and just beat Him on the back till His hide was all gone. They took a crown of thorns and in a despicable action pushed it down on His head. Have you ever had your head busted open and seen how it bleeds? The blood went everywhere. They had made Him bear His cross. Can you imagine how that felt when He had already lost all kinds of blood and He's trying to drag that cross down the street and it's burrowing a hole into His shoulder, so much so that they had to have someone bear the cross. He was despised. He was hurt. He was left. He was injured. And what did He feel on the cross? What did He feel? They nailed nails in His hands and in His feet and stuck Him. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. They stuck Him on a tree that He was responsible for its being. He was creator, force by which the creation take place. It's a tree that belonged to Him on which they nailed the nails. He was oppressed. He bore the burdens of us all. That's what oppression is. He was afflicted. It simply means He was slain, slaughtered. And then He was cut off from the living. How does He restore? He quiets. He resurrects. He brings us back to God. What a marvelous, marvelous Savior we serve. Can you see Him there? As He looks down from the cross at that ragtag multitude of ungodly wretches who have screamed out, "Crucify Him," not knowing that they're crucifying the Son of God and playing right into His hands. How did He react? He looks down on that multitude and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." What a servant. What a wonderful Lord. What a Savior He was for us. And then the magnificent news. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, that two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces down to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Were there ever words so important? He is risen. Without Him, we have no hope of redemption. Without Him, we have no hope of the resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall all be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Praise God. How do we get that? Because he was resurrected. This mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. When that's the case, then it will be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we leave out the next person, that verse out of the context. Therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus assures our resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Our gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is all about Jesus Christ. And it's all about faith. It's all about hearing. It's all about faith. It's all about repentance. It's all about confession. It's all about baptism. But it all starts with him. Faith starts with him. Faith in who? Faith in God through Jesus Christ. Faith leads to repentance. Repentance for what? Sin. Identified by Jesus Christ, who made salvation possible from it. And then the confession is a change of a man's allegiance with regard to who he is really going to serve. And then baptism is the act that clears his conscience, 1 Peter 3:21, and brings him forth as a new son, as a servant of Jesus Christ. So I recommend to you this morning the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel about Jesus Christ, the gospel given by Jesus Christ, and the assurances in the gospel for the resurrection that come by his death and burial and resurrection. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have the opportunity to obey that gospel. You do exactly what was said in Romans chapter 6. You put off the old man and put off the new man and put on the new man. And you do that by being baptized into Christ. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Don't you want that? If you've not achieved that, if you would come to him, he's ready to receive you. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Would you come to him this morning while we stand and sing for your encouragement?